The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now for the Six Rings postgame show, presented by McFarlane Energy, breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
May has a man open. It's a touchdown for Jalen Polk, and the rookie's in for the second time this year.
It's just identifying who is where in the formation, and you know, when you get a wide receiver at the point, he's up there at the point. Do you really want him blocking T.J. Edwards? And Tyreek Stevenson comes in a little bit too far. I don't know whose responsibility that was in coverage. Would have been Tyreek's or would it have been T.J.'s? But both of those guys got pulled to the inside.
Good evening, Patriot Nation. Welcome in to another edition of the Six Rings and Football Things postgame show here on WEEI. I am Andy Hart, joined not by Nick Fitzy Stevens, but we got a fill-in. Fitzy was actually boots on the ground at Soldier Field in Chicago, taking his son to a Bears-Patriots game that ends with the Patriots winning their third game of the season in borderline dominant fashion, 19-3, tied for second most all-time with 9 sacks of Caleb Williams in the game. And joining me alongside on the WEEI dial is John Lyons, often host of the nighttime program, Weekend Shifts, and anywhere they ask him to show up. So welcome for your first edition of the Six Rings and Football Things postgame show, Mr. Lyons. How are you?
Andy, I'm doing great, and technically, this is my second edition, because I was on with Fitzy last year, and I will say, 2-0. Last year, they beat Pittsburgh on a Thursday night. Today, they beat the Bears, so it's my first time with you, though, Andy, on the Six Rings postgame show, and I'm glad we have a win to be able to talk about.
Only one person, though.
A win that wasn't always fun, wasn't always pretty. But it is a victory indeed, the third win of the season. Second time in the last 3 weeks, by the way. Little bit of momentum. And Mo is my word of the day, because Mo Better was the Patriots. I thought they had the Mo Better rookie quarterback. I thought they had the Mo Better questionable coach. I thought they had the Mo Better questionable offensive coordinator. Because let's not get it wrong. These are two teams that have earned their spot in the sort of basement of the National Football League standings over the last couple years. But everybody told me, including my afternoon show host, co-host, host one, Christian Arcan, that the Bears did it right. They were aggressive, and they supported their first-round pick quarterback, and they went out and got Keenan Allen, and they have DJ Moore, and they drafted Roman Odunze, and they got all that. And guess what? They stink. They're bottoming out. They had some of the worst body language I have ever seen from a football team on a football field. The Patriots are fighting. The Patriots are making plays. Patriots also are making mistakes, including their rookie quarterback, Drake May. And all you turnstile, soft, fraudulent Foxborough faithful fans that turned on him after that interception, I want you to call in and apologize. 617-779-7937. You can leave us a text if you don't want to put your voice on the air and apologize. Because a lot of people on my Twitter feed were like, May stinks. Mac Jones 2.0. That was a Mac Jones throw right there. Hey, he's a rookie. He makes mistakes. But you know what else he does? He entertains me. And he leads his team to victory. For the first time, he walked off the field a victor. Technically, he already had his first NFL victory when he started a game that he didn't finish due to injury. This game, start to finish, Drake May, and we'll get into his leadership because we did hear word from the Fox crew that Drake May kind of took a bigger leadership role this week and kind of called out his offense. Got permission from his offensive coordinator to address the offense, took a leadership role within that room, and I think that's his greatest strength. And I think the quarterback across the field from him, that might be his greatest weakness. That's debatable because also holding onto the ball in the pocket is a significant weakness for Caleb Williams. But this was the kind of football game that I think we are left to enjoy in this 2024 season. It's not perfect. We're going to have things to nitpick. We're going to question Mike Onwenu missing blocks. We're going to question drops. We're going to question, you know, first time ever I've seen whatever that penalty is for not getting the kick in the landing zone by Joey Sly. Like, we're going to see things we don't like. We're also going to see guys on the field, quite honestly, I'm not sure we really want to see on the field, but then they make plays. I don't know if I want Brendan Schooler playing defense. But if you're going to have somebody spy Caleb Williams, your best special teamer is not actually the worst idea in terms of being a spy in that situation with their personnel down. So, John Lyons, I don't know about you. I'm staying optimistic. This felt like an optimistic game, and I know, well, it should be, Andy. Well, you weren't all optimistic in the first half after that interception. So, again, 617-779-7937. I want phone calls. I want to know where you stand on this team, because guess what? I was Mr. Number One Pick, and now they're not going to get the number one pick. The number one pick is slowly dissipating. Yes, they're still going to have a top five, top 10, whatever the pick may be. I've given up on the number one pick. I just want to ride the May train. I want to ride the May train to wherever it goes this November, December, and early January, John Lyons.
Yeah, and Andy Hart, of course, someone that is always known for his optimism. So we're
damn right.
Happy to hear that. Look, if you look at the last 3 weeks, they beat the Jets, they lose in overtime, albeit to a bad Titans team, and then they come back and they beat the Bears. And this was something I was really looking for with Drake May this week, because there's been a lot of hype around him, and he's had some cool moments early on. Of course, he had the concussion, which was concerning. But I thought the Tennessee game was probably his worst game as a pro, start to finish so far. And he wasn't terrible. He had that amazing play at the end of the game, but he had multiple turnovers, including that first interception. I thought he really got fooled on. So what I wanted to see was, how does he bounce back, right? Because one thing about any good quarterback in the NFL is how they bounce back after they have a bad game,
yep,
bad moment, whatever it may be. And I thought today, look, he wasn't perfect. He had a couple. He had one interception. He had a couple other throws, especially that last third down that he threw into the end zone in the fourth quarter that could have been picked off. But on the whole, I thought he bounced back well today. And the Patriots' offense started slow. They didn't have their first third down conversion until just under 6 minutes to go in the first half. But then on that final drive, May was 5 for 5, including the touchdown pass to Jalen Polk. So it's something that I felt, excuse me, the touchdown drive he was. But I thought he was really good bouncing back. I thought their execution at the end of the first half to get the ball spiked with 1 second to go and kick that field goal was great. They didn't make a ton of mistakes in the second half outside of that maybe one pass that May threw that could have been picked in the end zone. But I thought it was a really nice bounce back effort from Drake May. And I thought it was a really good bounce back effort from a Patriots defense that I thought really did not play well against Tennessee last week.
Yeah, I thought the defense was sort of the story of the game in a way.
Yeah.
And I think they are undermanned. You know, no Kyle Duggar, mixing and matching in the back end at times, mixing and matching up front. You're seeing guys that some fans probably aren't all that familiar with. Del Pettis gets a sack. You got Taki Taki out there at times. You got Brendan Schooler, as I said, there was a play where he was the spy and he kind of ran Caleb Williams out of bounds, did his job. So, and they were put in tough spots early, short fields. They were put in some really short fields early and responded and gave the offense the opportunity to kind of find itself and not dig a hole that maybe, because if we're going to be honest, this team's not going to score a lot of points, and the Bears don't give up a lot of points. I think only one time all year have the Bears given up more than 20 points. So this is typical of a Bears defense. They're going to hold you below 20, but their offense couldn't do anything, and the Patriots defense gave their offense a chance to get its footing. It wasn't great early. They were kind of finding their way, a little sloppy. Obviously, the turnover was a throw that Drake May, I don't know if he, and we'll ask him tomorrow in his appearance, weekly appearance on a Monday afternoon on the WEEI afternoon program. I don't know if he didn't see the linebacker, if he thought he could float it over the linebacker. You know, bad throw, bad decision, combo. I chalk it up to experience. These are some of the things, and you mention it. Experience, people think, is just good. No, no, no. Experience has to be inherently bad at times. That's part of the experience process. So I love the drive to the field goal to end the second quarter for a team that has been abysmal late in quarters, second quarters going into halftime.
They've been especially bad at the end of second quarters.
I mean, awful.
The Seattle game, Miami game. Yep. I mean, we can stack up the examples, but then to respond and look, I think not only was this their best at the end of the second quarter this year, you could make the case it was their best end of quarter drive maybe in the last 2 years, unless I'm forgetting something. So it was a really nice drive and to get points. And your point about the defense, Andy, early, I agree with you. The defense was the story of this game. You look at the first three Chicago drives. Patriots punt, give up a bad return. Chicago starts at the New England 47, 3-and-out. Next series, they start at their own 40, end up punting. Series after that, their own 48, end up punting. So this Patriots defense, I mean, this could have been a 10-0 Chicago game or a 13-0 type Chicago game. And that Patriots defense, those three early punts to me were a huge deal because then it allowed the Patriots offense. They had that 3-0 lead, then kind of find their footing as they went along. So for me, I thought the defense, I agree with you, was the story of this game, early and late, but I really look at those early punts they forced because that allowed the Patriots a little breathing room offensively to kind of get going and then start putting some points on the board.
So let's set the table a little bit here because I'm sliding into the host one role, which I continue to prove isn't that hard. I'm teaching that to Fitzy. I'm teaching that to Christian Arkand. You just kind of talk, give out the number every once in a while.
You were the host one on the first show I ever did on WEEI.
That is true.
You are the standard of host.
I'm the host with the most, right? So we are going to hear from Drake May. We're going to hear from Jerod Mayo, in fact, right now.
After a victory, I thought the guys really answered the challenge that we had all during the week. Talked about being a physical, having a physical Wednesday, and I think that showed up today. Really in all three phases, but offensively, you know, we were able to really deliver those body blows that we talked about and really staying ahead of the sticks. You know, the prior week, it's a lot of second and long situations that really took us off track. And I would say defensively, especially on the interior piece, for the most part, and look, there are things to correct. I thought the guys played well in the run game. Defensively, I would say we were able to get pressure. We were able to get pressure on the quarterback. We had 9 sacks in the game, which is always good. And I would say the back end did a good job as far as coverage is concerned. Offensively, kind of talked about the run game. And look, Drake, you know, still continues to go out there and make plays. He's going to make mistakes, but this is part of his evolution. It's part of his growth and development. And then special teams, you know, it was kind of shaky there at the beginning, but I would say as we were able to settle down, it was good. I just want to send I thought the coordinators did an excellent job the entire week. Not only, reiterating the message that I said in the squad meeting rooms, but also just putting together a good game plan and knowing how we have to win football games. And that's through controlling the line of scrimmage and kind of talked about that.
What did your team do so well defensively? 142 total yards, only 11 first downs and the 9 sacks. What did they do well today?
It starts up front. It starts up front, and I think, you know, that's what we have to do. We have to go out there and reestablish the line of scrimmage, and we were able to do that in all three downs.
Did you dial up more in the second half? Like, Schooler's down in the box. Seems like he was in a spy technique. Is that another wrinkle you guys added?
That's our Longhorn package. Our Longhorn package, and we've done things like that before, and you know, again, we talk about next man up. Now you got a guy who was primarily a special team player making contributions. It's probably what his first sack ever in his career. But he's fast, he's athletic, and he's a football player. We try not to put anyone in a box, and I'm not going to put him one.
Drake asked AVP if he could address the offense. What do you know about that, and what does that say about Drake?
Look, Drake has addressed the offense numerous times. I think it goes back to now he's starting to really take control of the offense and the team. I mean, when you go out there and you perform at a high level, that's the first step. The next step is to bring others with you, and I think he's on his way to doing that.
How much did coverage play a factor in the 9 sacks?
Well, coverage was huge. You know, all of those guys in the back end, again, you know, we had the young safeties out there, and Gonzo continues to play at a very high level. I'd also say John Jones. You know, he's just one of those guys you can put him in, you know, as a slot corner, put him outside, put him in the back end. Just a veteran player that, again, goes in that box of he's a football player, and wherever you ask him to go, he'll go out there and try to perform.
Jerod, knowing the matchups you've had, how much in your mind did this game hinge on just stopping Caleb Williams from being able to scramble?
The matchups in regards to
how you matched up with him. How much of this game do you believe would be if we contain Caleb Williams, that's the biggest key?
Oh, that was definitely a huge part of it. You know, we've said that. You know, if you were to take away just our third down, you know, penalties and our third down, letting the quarterback out of the pocket over the course of the season, we would be much better. And I would say today, I think they had one third down conversion, not
necessarily sure what it was, and then one fourth down conversion. And then, look, again, that's the recipe, and we just have to be patient enough to do it on a down after down basis.
About drafting and developing, you got a lot of contributors from young players today. How much of that is a reflection of the playing time, you know, they've received over the first half of the season?
I'm not sure. I mean, look, those guys, they work hard. They come to work every day. They go on the practice field and they try to get better. It doesn't always show up on game day. Fortunately for us, it showed up today.
It's been a little bit of a battle for Jalen Polk. How nice to see him get that touchdown. He got greeted by coaches, players, everybody coming off.
It was great. You know, with young players, you never know where that inflection point is going to come. You never know when that switch is going to flip, and hopefully this is the start of, you know, him being a very good receiver in this league. We never doubted him in the locker room, and I think that's important. And, you know, it's been a lot of outside noise, and he's had to deal with the outside noise, but when it's all said and done, if you go out and do it on the field, it's not much people can say.
You talked about putting the players out there that give you the best chance to win at receiver. You guys got a lot of receivers today. We didn't see Kendrick. Was that like just practice, KJ? Perform better at practice? Like, what was the thought process on?
There was a lot that went into that. You know, anytime we put the active roster together, I mean, you said it. Like, we thought that was the best thing to do for us to give us the best chance to win. All those guys bring a certain skill set to the game. We just didn't know who was going to play more, and it just played out that way. But I will say this, you know, even though Bourne didn't play today, it was the first one smiling when I walked in the locker room, and I've always appreciated that, you know, just his energy and excitement. Same thing, you know, with KJ and the rest of those guys. Sometimes they, you know, even when they're inactive, just the excitement, you know, for their teammates. And, you know, we talk about abundance versus scarcity and having that mindset of abundance where we can all eat versus scarcity. If you have that scarcity mindset, you know, you don't want your teammate to do well because it's only a certain amount of the pie. And what I will say, the mindset of this team is that if we go out there are enough plays to be made for all of us. We just got to go out and execute. I know that was a long answer, but I thought I was going to get philosophical.
You guys ended the first half, clock management, being able to execute in that situation.
Yeah, situational football has definitely been a strength of ours. You know, especially over the last few weeks, like, you know, the different situations that show up depending on the clock and the score and the timeout situation. I would say, again, we were ahead of the game, and it's great to see when it comes to fruition.
Trav, do you feel like you learned something more about your team today or proved something to everyone else watching you guys?
Yeah, to me, like, the only people I'm really concerned with are the people in that locker room. And I've always known that these guys, they're going to give great effort no matter what. And that's why Wednesday we talk about changing the page, win, lose, or draw. And I think that's a good mindset to have. You can't get too high, can't get too low. And I would say we have, you know, that's the leadership all the way to the players, and they've done that.
Thoughts on Joey Sly?
Joey Sly, hey, huge. You know, to go out there and be 4-for-4, to have a new baby at home, you know, less than a week old, and little Palmer. And I would throw Jelani Tavai in there as well. Had, you know, his fiance had a baby a couple of days ago. Anua, I think I said that right, and it means earth in that language. But, you know, it means a lot. And anytime, you know, a kicker goes out there and kicks, he's perfect. There's nothing I can say bad about that.
Caleb Williams has struggled the last few games. What did you see from him today in his performance versus maybe earlier this season with the tape that you started in advance of this game?
I still believe that Caleb Williams would be a very good player in this league. But just like any rookie, he's going to go through his ups and downs. Doesn't matter what position you play, but he'll be a special player. He's got to stick to it. Thanks, guys.
That's Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo celebrating New England's 19-3 victory at Soldier Field in Chicago to win their third game of the season. Now 3-7, found the victory lane 2 of the last 3 weeks, maybe building a little positive momentum as opposed to their Bears opponents, who were sending fans packing in the fourth quarter and could honestly be sending some coaches packing in the coming weeks. We've exited that discussion here on the Six Rings postgame show of should Gerard Mayo be fired? Could he be fired? Alex Van Pelt, that may be an issue later in the discussion in January. But for now, there's some momentum here in New England. Reminder, Six Rings postgame show brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. John Lyons is alongside me, Andy Jumbo Hart. We are talking Patriots, Patriots victory Sunday evening here on the Six Rings and Football Things postgame show. But Joe Braverman is here as well to get you updated on everything going on in Boston sports as well as the rest of the NFL.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ball, so I got to make some better decisions and keep those guys in good field position.
Drake, seemed like you settled down. You guys had some new packages out there, some bubble screen looks, and getting alignment out. What helped you get in the flow of the game there, especially right before the end of the half and as you guys, you know, ended the game in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I think being able to run the football, anytime you're able to run the football on first down, you know, I feel like that was the big thing, you know, today. Credit to those guys up front, you know, our guys, they played their butts off and run blocking in pass pro. I think being able to run the football, seeing some first downs and, you know, some big yards on first downs kind of helped us throughout the way. And then down there, we had a couple good drives, you know, that we got down there and got down in the red zone. And, you know, the Bears are one of the best, you know, red zone defenses in the league. So I think there's some throws that I like to have back. And obviously that one, you know, first interception, it's just – a bad decision, so I'm trying to throw it away and got to throw it away farther. But at the end of the day, on the defense, you know, once football game, we did just enough.
Drake, the broadcast said that you asked AVP if you could address the offense because you were a little bit frustrated with what you were seeing in practice. What exactly were you seeing that made you compelled to say something?
Yeah, I think just little things. I think just taking, you know, that next step is me being the quarterback and, you know, in the offensive meeting room of, you know, these little things that are adding up and hurting us in practice that are leading to game day. I think, you know, last week I mentioned we had, you know, second and third down and 2 minute drill that we ran it and we couldn't pick up 1 yard. You know, little things like that, just little detailed and focus. And I think sometimes you get into practice mode where you're just running plays and not really tuned in and trying to execute, you know, specific plays. You're trying to just get in a groove of, hey, we're just running plays out here just for nothing. And just really try to, you know, challenge those guys and challenge myself to take each play and, you know, that, you know, when the game comes and this play is called, you know, it matters. You know, there's so many times, you know, throughout the, you know, the game, you see that how much that play can impact the turnout of the game. So I was just trying to get through to them and probably fumbled some words trying to do it, but I think those guys respected it.
Kayshawn, just what did you see on that play and just the process of getting up there, spiking it?
Yeah, it looked like you're a two-man. You know, something we practiced, you know, credit to Coach Mayo and you know, offensive guys and the staff. We practice those like nobody's business. We practice them every week, you know, with big plays and a chunk play and getting up there and spiking it. And I think we even practiced that, you know, in our walkthrough yesterday morning. I think that, you know, almost like same exact thing where, you know, we have no timeouts. It's either, you know, rush the field goal team on. I don't know if we could have had time for that. So no timeouts. We had to clock it and, you know, end up working. So I think we looked at that same play on film, kind of the backside dig and just shows, you know, what, you know, tribute of, you know, these coaches getting me prepared and just making the throw.
Why are you able to bounce back after that interception early, come back end of the half, have the couple series that you guys have?
Yeah, just being a competitor, and I think, you know, just knowing, you know, I have confidence in myself. You know, I know that's, you know, not my style of football, turning the football over like that. And bless you. And just growing up and playing different sports and having older brothers and being able to bounce back and getting dunked on a mini hoop and having to, you know, come back here and bounce back, you know, from older brothers. So, and whether it's that or just, you know, facing adversity throughout the season, I think more and more, you know, times, you know, not everything's going to go right. Not everything's going to go perfect. And I think you saw that from the offense today. But being able to bounce back and do what we need to do with, you know, a defensive performance like that.
You want to earn everyone's respect as a rookie coming
in. Yeah.
So when you ask Alex to talk to the team, like, how do you measure that out? Without, you know, you want them to.
Yeah, I think that's huge. No doubt. I think that's something you got to balance, you know, getting to know these guys and being genuine with them and, you know, going, you know, creating different relationships, sitting with different people, you know, when we're getting something to eat or, you know, playing different guys and, you know, kind of reaching out to different guys, trying to get on a personal level instead of just, hey, I'm a teammate, we're friends when we come to work and go home, you know, text them after or send them a video, hey, in this look, you know, we're watching film at home, little things like that I think can go a long way. And like I said, trying to get, each guy on a personal level can kind of, then, you know, you feel like, oh, okay, that's, you know, I know Drake and he cares about me, and that's how I'm approaching it.
Drake, what was the date and time when you did speak to the team this week?
I think maybe an after Wednesday's practice. Yeah, first practice of the week. I think I fumbled a snap. I think we didn't pick up, you know, protection that we've been, you know, trying to pick up. I think, you know, may have had some little, you know, mental errors that I think, you know, I really started with myself that I think ended up that we didn't show today, and that thing, that's what counted.
Drake, how did that drive feel when you're 5 for 5 in the second quarter? You complete the pass to Polk, who's kind of been, you know.
Yeah. It's pretty cool, you know, first round, you know, pick a second round pick, and I think JP is he's finding it. I think there's some times where I think I may have had him some other times in the game, and I think he's going to be a great player, and looking forward to hoping that that touchdown gives him some confidence, and he's going to make a lot of plays for us. So, thank you.
That was the voice of Patriots quarterback Drake May walking off the field, a winner for the first time in his short albeit impressive NFL career, the number one overall pick, losing to the number three overall pick. And I think fans in New England, I'm just giving my opinion here, my thoughts, my observations, fans in New England feel better right now about their rookie quarterback than some of the fans in the Windy City. This is the Six Rings and Football Things postgame show here on WEEI. That was Drake May. We came right back out of the break, right jumped into him, John Lyons. First, John Lyons, my co-host today, filling in for Nick Fitzy Stevens, who is boots on the ground at Soldier Field today for us. What was your reaction to Drake May's day, but also Drake May's the story of the week, where apparently he addressed the team, didn't really like what he saw in practice, and then even we're seeing some tweets coming out of the media room in Chicago where Christian Gonzalez was speaking. He was asked a question about Drake May, who was watching, and he's like, whoa, 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 not me. That's the defense. That's the defense. I don't know about you. I could not love Drake May's first couple months as the leader of this football team anymore.
Yeah, and it felt like a step forward leadership-wise. And not that he had necessarily issues in that regard, but to go from, hey, I'm the rookie quarterback behind Jacoby Brissett, to, okay, now I'm the rookie quarterback and I'm starting, to now I'm the rookie quarterback and I'm also speaking to the team. Like, that's a big step forward in his development. I think the fact that they followed it with a win matters, right? Because if you speak to the team on Wednesday and then you have a great Thursday, Friday practice and you go out and look terrible and lose to the Bears, it doesn't have quite the same effect. Much like I would say their win in Cincinnati in week one was important for Jerod Mayo, right? New coach, new culture, all that stuff to come out and win early. So I think it's important they got a win here. And May, look, he didn't maybe put up some of the numbers he has in previous games, but the fact that he was able to bounce back and play pretty well after, I thought, not playing well against Tennessee, and then after that speech as well, I think that matters a lot too, because now there's guys in that locker room, they really, it feels like, believe in him. And it's one thing to say to the media, hey, I believe in this guy, he's our quarterback, this and that. But now, look, you have Austin Hooper having his best game as a Patriot today. DeMario Douglas with another good game today. Kayshon Booty, 4 catches of 47 yards. I mean, what have we been saying for, I feel like, 3 weeks, Andy, right? Where are the wide receivers? Where are the pass catchers? Where are they? And then today, they're starting to have good games. And Jalen Polk, look, it's only one catch, but he got open. It was a touchdown. Maybe that's a point for him. And Jerod Mayo kind of talked about this. Maybe it's a point where he can build on this now. And he can maybe start to make some plays and become that guy that they drafted high in the second round. So I thought it was a nice step for this Patriots. I don't want to make too much out of it, right? It's one win against a team that is bad. But I thought it was a nice step in the right direction, especially for the Patriots offense, but the defense as well.
I don't want to make too much of it either, but I do believe that is the first Patriots pass catcher to record a second touchdown on the season. I believe they had a bunch of guys with single touchdown receptions, and I think he may be the first to catch a second. I'll have to check that. But either way,
he doesn't always catch passes, but when he does,
they're in the end zone, and that's important. Yeah. Those can be valuable. I don't know if it's an inflection point, as Jerod Mayo said, or not. We'll see in the coming weeks. We'll see that with all these guys. But I do know that they are building up reps together. Kayshon Booty, I didn't think it was all great. People were on him for the throw in overtime last week. Could he have made an attempt to break it up? today. There were times he made some nice plays, times that I didn't, I thought. I thought he needs to be a better high pointer.
He had the holding penalty on him too, right?
Yep. Yeah. So, but they're all young. They're all learning. They're all evolving. And the one biggest takeaway I have, and maybe I'm over-dramatizing this as a viewer from a New England perspective, I saw a lot of frustration on the quarterback for the Bears. I saw frustration on the receivers for the Bears. I saw frustration in the bench area with Shane Waldron, their offensive coordinator. I saw frustration that was evident with body language, expression. I haven't seen that, and I know Moose and whoever his play-by-play guy was, we're talking about that, that the Patriots, for all their faults, all their struggles, all the turmoil, all the dumb things that they've said as players, that their head coach has had to backtrack off of, all of that borderline circus-like issues, they seem like a football team. John Jones said it to us on the afternoon program last week. And when I asked him, I was like, well, with the losing piling up, you're 2-7, any issues? And he's like, surprisingly, no. This is still a tight locker room. Like, he acknowledged, yeah, I'm a little surprised with everything that's gone on that we're still a tight unit. I see a football team that fights. It's flawed. It is flawed in a lot of areas. Coaching might be one of them. Talent might be one of them. But they fight. And sometimes that's enough when you play a team like the Bears. And I also think it was important for them to get one of these wins against another bad team. They've had these opportunities. They couldn't get over the hump. You know, you take the, I think it was a 10-0 lead in London over the Jags, and then boom, Jags go on a run, and it's all of a sudden 22-10. And, you know, you had the opportunity last week. You go to overtime with a Titans team that I think is pretty bad, and you couldn't get over the hump. You get over the hump today, and you said, we're bad, but we're not that bad. They're worse than us, and we're maybe going in the right direction. I'm going to make a prediction here, bold prediction. And I'm bad at these because I predicted the Patriots would go 0-17. They got three wins. Who's laughing now, Andy? I'm going to make a prediction the Bears don't win again this season. I think the Bears will finish this season with four wins because they have a hellacious football schedule coming. They haven't played in the division yet. They still have two Packers. You're damn right, sound guy, Joe Braverman. I am saying it here. They will not win another football game. They will not be coached by Matt Eberflus next year. And it pains me to say this because he's my boy.
They might not be coaching. He might not be coaching next week.
He might not be, and nor may my boy Shane Waldron might not be coaching next week because there is a lot of pressure on that offense, literally and figuratively, pressure on the field. And some of these numbers, John Lyons, are kind of ridiculous. They held the Bears to 69 net passing yards.
Nice.
Nice.
1 of 14 on third down.
One of 14 on third. Like, that's an NFL team over there. It's not one of these, what if a college team played an NFL team? Yeah. That might be how it would look if a college team played an NFL team. This is actually two NFL football teams. And the Patriots defense, with some help from Caleb Williams, because I think he was, I call these willing victims. I think he helped you play really well today, held on to the football, made some bad decisions, different things. But you made his life difficult. And this, I think, is the recipe to some degree that Gerard Mayo, Alex Van Pelt, and he opened his press conference with this, saw when they saw this football team. If we're going to win, we're going to run the ball today. It wasn't great for Ramondre Stevenson, but as a team, they ran the ball for like 140 yards, like 40 rushes, 35 or 40 rushes. They did what they wanted to do, or at least needed to do, on the ground. Drake May made some plays. The defense got some stops. The defense did some things to help them win a football game. Joey Sly hits his field goal. New Papa Joey Sly gets his field goal. New Papa Jelani Tavai, and I'm not going to try to say the baby's name. I wish them all the luck in the world with that, but I'm not Gerard Mayo, so I'm not going to attempt the name. But congratulations on the game and congratulations on the new babies, guys. This was a complimentary team victory, and I think this is how they want to play football, especially against teams that are, let's say, in their league, so to speak, I guess.
And it's interesting because I felt like last week against Tennessee, that was going to be the only team on your schedule that had equal talent to you. Maybe even the Patriots are a little bit more talented then. So when they lost that game, I was disappointed. And then you go to this week against the Bears, and I think the Bears, their raw talent is higher than the Patriots.
Yes.
But what the Patriots, I thought, did a great job of today, which they haven't done enough of this year, was taking advantage of the situation. And I compare it so much to that Cincinnati win in week one. And what I mean by that is the Bears have several key contributors out injured, right? Darnell Wright's not there. Their starting defensive lineman isn't there either. And you mentioned the body language thing. I mean, what we're seeing from the Bears right now is kind of what we saw from the Patriots after that San Francisco game or after the London game, where either there's some doubt or some real frustration there. And the Patriots were able to kind of hold it together. They beat the Jets loose last week, and they took advantage this week of a team that, again, has a couple guys out, but also is just in a bad place. Like, you mentioned Caleb Williams as a willing victim. You don't go 1 of 14 on third down by yourself, right? This is a coaching staff that didn't put him in a good spot. There's a good receiving core there. Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze, right? DJ Moore. Guys just not getting open enough. Cole Kmet, who I think is a pretty good tight end, didn't even get his first catch till I think late in the third quarter, maybe early fourth. Wasn't really a factor in this game. And defensively, the Bears defense started out pretty well, but they didn't take it. They had the one interception of Drake May, the couple other mistakes he made, they didn't take advantage. Then they also allowed the Patriots to get into a rhythm on that touchdown drive. May 5 for 5 on that drive, a 70-yard drive. Then the end of the first half, in 35 seconds, the Bears let the Patriots go 41 yards and spike the ball at the end with no timeout. So it just felt like the Patriots today did a really good job of taking advantage of an opponent who is in a bad spot. And if they're going to be a good team, right, the goal here, whether it's next year, 2 years from now, whenever, the goal here is that someday we're going to be doing a Six Rings postgame show and they're going to be great once again. They're going to have to win games like this. So it was a nice sign to see them win a game like this.
Do you agree with the 857 texter who says they're finally playing for their coach and their quarterback?
Oh, I think they've been playing for their coach and their quarterback for a while now. Like,
Jets game, maybe. Like, I think there may have been some real doubt among guys after that Jacksonville game. Because remember, there was the kind of cryptic quotes and reports, oh, guys were out or guys weren't fully focused.
Right.
And maybe there were some questions there. But for them to beat the Jets, especially with Jacoby Brissett having to come in and make big plays and have that game-winning drive, I felt like they turned a little bit of a corner belief-wise, and not that they didn't believe before, but I felt like they turned a little bit of a corner then, and it today helps, though.
Absolutely, and victories help. You know, to have victories twice in the last 3 weeks, they had their little victory Monday, they get an extra day off, they feel good about it. It does, because the week before that, we were having conversations, long-term conversations about play callers, about assistant coaches, about head coaches, and I don't know that two wins puts all that to bed. It's funny, there was a discussion on the broadcast about the cyclical nature of the Bears having a coach that is a holdover, getting a new quarterback, firing that coach, bringing in a new coach, doesn't work with that quarterback, now you're back looking for another quarterback, and they've done that multiple times between Mitchell Trubisky, Justin Fields, and now, in all likelihood, Caleb Williams. And for all Patriots fans that think Gerard Mayo is a questionable coach and maybe don't want to see him stick around, I think that's a cautionary tale they were telling you on that broadcast for Fox about the Bears.
And I'm sorry to cut you off, Andy, but this is something I've been saying for a while here. The people that are like, oh, you got to move on from Mayo after the Jacksonville game, or you got to do that, that's what bad organizations do, right? Like, you look at the teams they've beaten in the last 3 weeks, the Jets and the Bears. What have they been doing for the last 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
Cycling through quarterbacks, cycling through offensive coordinators, cycling through coaches. I mean, even the Patriots, let's be fair. Hunter Henry's been here 4 years, and he's on his fourth different offensive coordinator. Do you really want to keep changing that and keep messing with that stuff? Like, that's something that, and I'm not saying that, you know, Mayo shouldn't have some sort of short leash if they're not good by next year, or you can't be critical of them, but you got to be careful about falling into that trap, because what did we laugh at teams for 20 years when you had Brady and Belichick? Oh, look at that team screwing up again and again and again. You don't want to fall into that trap if you're the Patriots.
Absolutely, and I think that is where the tough decision will come for Robert Kraft, because you also don't want to waste another year. And if you believe now, I don't think it's going to come to this, because I think they are fully invested in Gerard Mayo and almost have to be, the way they handled the situation, handled the sort of deployment of him, the whole story, the narrative, the trip to Israel. I think they're kind of fully invested in Gerard Mayo, and I think it would be a bad look to have to fire him at the end of his first season. But I would also argue, if for some reason his gut, Robert Kraft's gut, the one that told him to hire Gerard Mayo, if the same gut tells him this is not going to work, it's never going to work, he was the wrong guy, he wasn't ready, do it sooner rather than later. Don't waste a second year of Drake May's development and rookie contract, right? Don't you know, throw more bad water into that whole mix up there, because that's equally as detrimental, I think, long term. I think there's probably some people in Los Angeles with the Chargers who think they probably wasted more time of Justin Herbert's career than they probably should have on a bad coach with a bad foundation on the sideline. So I agree with you. You don't want to get into the cycle. But if you do realize that, oh, boy, I've made a terrible mistake here. I need to move on. And that's why it'll be a difficult decision. Now, Jerod Mayo can make it an easy decision by continuing to put forth these type of efforts, these type of performances. There will be losses. The schedule is going to get tougher. You still got two Bills games. You got plenty of challenges on the horizon that football teams that I don't think will be quite as willing to roll over and play dead the way like Caleb Williams and Matt Eberflus and the Bears did today. So there's going to be challenges, but I do believe if Drake May keeps playing, that gives you opportunities because we saw it today. Even that late play, which I think is a subtle thing where he stepped up in the pocket, looked like he was going to scramble sort of into traffic, and then he just flicked it to Hunter Henry down the sideline. Those are the plays to me that will become the evolution. Now, he also just answered about his ugly interception and said he was trying to throw it away. I don't believe you because that was the worst attempt to throw it away that I've ever seen. You were trying to complete a pass there, either didn't see the guy, something. I'm going to have to follow up with my guy. I'm a maniac. I'll try to do it in a polite way tomorrow, but I'm going to need to follow up with my guy about that because if he was trying to throw that away, that's one of the worst throwaways I've ever seen covering a football team. 617-779-7937. You are listening to WEEI and the Patriots Six Rings post-game show. I am Andy Jumbo Hart alongside John Lyons, filling in for Nick Fitzy Stevens, who will join us, by the way. I've got some intel, communication, will join us from Chicago sometime in the next hour or so. We will also talk to Chris Scheim around 6:45. He will give us his Drake May grade for the day, and I think you know John Lyons. Chris Scheim is a big supporter of Drake May, maybe he even is a bigger supporter than I am. I think we're sort of co-chairs of the committee to get him elected greatest Patriots quarterback of all time after only five starts of NFL action and barely two wins, but it's a long title for a club. I know we got to tighten that up if we're going to have T-shirts and different things. But yeah, so we got a packed show. We want you to join us. If you were down on Drake May, I want to hear why. If you think Drake May is the second coming of Tom Brady, I want to hear why. If you think the Patriots are building positive momentum, I'll hear it. If you think the Patriots are screwing up their draft pick, I guess we can talk about that as well. Defense is playing well. Joey Sly's making his kicks. 19-3 victory. Patriots have three wins. This is the Six Rings and Football Things post-game show on WEEI, and we'll get to your call, 617-779-7937, right after this.
Defensively, I would say we were able to get pressure. We were able to get pressure on the quarterback. We had 9 sacks in the game, which is always good. And I would say the back end did a good job as far as coverage is concerned. Offensively, kind of talked about the run game. And look, Drake, you know, still continues to go out there and make plays. He's going to make mistakes, but this is part of his evolution. It's part of his growth and development. And then special teams, you know, it was kind of shaky there at the beginning, but I would say as we were able to settle down, it was good.
That's Patriots head coach Jerod Mayo in his post-game press conference in Chicago, where the Patriots beat the Bears 19-3 in a relatively dominant fashion. When you look at some of the numbers, especially for the defense, as he mentioned, 9 sacks. Bears only converted 1 third down out of 14 opportunities. Only accumulated 69 nice passing yards net-wise, thanks in large part to those sacks. It was a good team defensive effort. They actually rotated a bunch of players out there and played the kind of football that I think Jerod Mayo, Alex Van Pelt, and DeMarcus Covington think they need to play at this point in their evolution as a team. Six Rings post-game show here talking Patriots victory, and we go to the phone lines, 617-779-7937. We'll go in order in which you called, so that means we're going to go to the Max. Max in Taunton is on the Six Rings post-game show. What's up, Max?
Hey, what's going on?
How are you?
Look, I'm great. I'm in the car with my family. I was at a one-year-old's birthday party. We're on cloud nine. The Patriots win. Get in the car, listen to sports radio, and they're talking about Jerod Mayo getting fired.
Who?
I'm like, did we not just go on the road as 6.5-point underdogs and beat Caleb Williams in Chicago?
Yes, you did.
I can't figure it out. I'm like, so, you know, I think Jerod.
So one victory erases about 10 months of questionable decisions. Is that what we're doing around here? Because I'm as optimistic as anybody. I think he may have turned a corner coaching-wise, but I'm also not going to sleep on the mistakes he made earlier this season and earlier this offseason.
I mean, are we not the most least talented roster in the NFL?
You're in consideration there, no question.
Right. So, I mean, listen, I'm all down to kick Jerod when he's down, but coming off a win in Chicago as a 6.5-point underdog, it just feels like, you know, they've had a little bit of turmoil with the wide receivers, maybe being a little bit of divas, and they go on the road and win. So maybe give them a little bit of credit, and we'll see what happens next. But they have no talent, right? But Drake's a winner, and he's the quarterback of the future. So thanks for taking my call.
All right, thanks for the call, Max. I think Max may have tuned in at a strange time in our conversation because some people were accusing me of being like a homer to start the show and like being optimistic Andy and all these things that are...
Which you're known for. You cannot right? take you're the optimism. Fitzy role with Fitzy not here. Yeah. You need to continue to be Andy yeah. Hart.
Andy well, is known for his optimism, as we all know.
And I can be actually kind of overly optimistic in certain areas. I think I was overly optimistic with Drake May starting basically this time a year ago
and
when I fell
also, I have to say, Andy had maybe the quote of the last month, and I don't know if you remember this, Andy, when he said, is it really a homer take if I'm right? Is That's it really?
Good, right.
I don't think it's a homer take if you're right.
Thank you. I agree. And so I apologize, Max and Taunton, if you took something the wrong way. But I also won't step away from the idea that I think after the season, you need to evaluate what Jerod Mayo has done in totality from last January through this coming January and say, is he getting better? Is he taking the players, the team, the organization, the staff in the right direction? Because I do not back away from the idea he's made a lot of mistakes, many of them not really having to do with game day. Many of them sort of being in terms of things he says, the culture, the way he evaluates things, handles himself, backtracks. All of the things, quite honestly, that were supposed to be his area of expertise, he kind of has struggled in those areas. But no question, you got a nice victory today. You had Drake May applauding what Jerod Mayo has done for setting him up and getting a look he saw late in the first half there that helped them as an offense get in position to spike the ball, kick the field goal, and do those types of things. So certainly the stock, if you're doing a stock watch on Jerod Mayo, the stock is up of late. In part, I think, also because Drake May is playing, and I think he's ignited some juice into this offense and into this team. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this team moving forward. But as I said, the team that had the worst coach, the worst body language, the worst coordinator, the worst attitude, everything, all of those things were on the home sideline at Soldier Field. I feel good about
close
what
down,
I saw.
Down, no pads down real quick. Just clap it up for the defense, man. Clap it up. Somebody else clap up.
Somebody else, please. It's awkward up here. I'm the only one clapping. Can somebody clap?
And I think we should mention, I thought today was a really good day for DeMarcus Covington, defensive coordinator. And I've been critical of him
absolutely.
Earlier in the year. I thought the first Jets game on the Thursday night, he was way too slow to adjust his pressure package to his coverage package. You had blown assignments against Seattle for a DK Metcalf touchdown and a near identical one against San Francisco for a long completion. So yep. I was critical of him at times. And the Jacksonville game, I thought the defense really had no answers. I mean, the 17 straight runs. But today, I thought Covington largely had all the answers. He deserves credit.
So we'll get one more phone call in here, 617-779-7937, before we get to the top of the hour. Mike in Southie has some thoughts on everybody's favorite quarterback in New England, Drake May. Mike, what's up?
That's right. Everybody's favorite quarterback is an understatement. It is clear that we have the guy, and I think it's an absolute disservice that knowing you were going to draft a rookie quarterback, you pair him not with veterans, not with experienced leadership, but you pair him with rookie wide receivers that have major question marks, clearly, a rookie head coach, and even, I believe, a rookie play caller with his OC. I just don't understand why you're pairing inexperience with a lot of potential with a lot of other inexperience and a lot of other positions. I just think it drives me crazy. It is the antithesis of what the 49ers have done with Purdy.
All right, thanks for the call, Mike. So that's an extreme example, obviously, with the roster that he has to work with in San Francisco, the play caller he has to work with in San Francisco as the head coach, Kyle Shanahan. So that's an extreme example. I actually think the better example was on display in Chicago today. The approach the Bears took was to go after veteran talent in terms of Swift in the backfield, Keenan Allen. They invested in another, now they had the luxury, but they invested in another first-round wide receiver to add talent around Caleb Williams. Now, Bill Belichick was critical that they didn't add talent where they probably should have, and that was the offensive line. Remember, he was calling out Ryan Pace in terms of roster building, which, coach, you might want to be careful.
Nine sacks, though. He might be on to something.
Hey, he might be on to something.
I think
but
the best example, like, look at what Washington did, right? They already had Terry McLaurin. They brought in multiple new starters on their offensive line. I think it was three. But the key for them, too, Cliff Kingsbury, right? Like, we all remember him as the failed Cardinals head coach. He's a good offensive mind. He's a good play caller. They put him in place. Because to the caller's point, that's something that KJ Carson and I have been talking about on the night show quite a bit. A lot of rookies in their respective positions, whether it's head coach, special teams coordinator, defensive coordinator. Van Pelt's been in the league a long time, but as far as running a whole offense, essentially a rookie at QB. Like, again, so I don't need to go down the whole list, but a lot of rookies at key spots.
And the one guy that we don't really know what his role is that has a lot of experience is Ben McAdoo. And I still don't really know what he does in terms of day-to-day, game-to-game, game planning.
Ernie Adams 2.0.
Yeah, I really have no idea because they're kind of vague in his assistant head coach duties-like relationship with Gerard Mayo. But I do think it's a fair question. It also is part of sort of the struggles of what they needed to do when they pulled Bill Belichick, who was the entirety of the organization in some sense, away. That created challenges. And I also believe going with Gerard Mayo as your first-time coach created other challenges because he's not a guy that's been around the league, has a lot of contacts. He admitted this. He had to lean on Elliott Wolf. They had issues hiring an offensive coordinator. We know how all those things played out. And then on the field, to compound that, K.J. Osborne has not been a great signing in any sense as a veteran wide receiver who maybe some people thought would step up and would be ready for a bigger role. He was sort of, he's in the shadow of Justin Jefferson and Addison in Minnesota. Or maybe he's just a complimentary receiver at best and he's not ready for a bigger role. And even Kendrick Bourne. And we'll get into Kendrick Bourne in the next hour. DNPCD today, after rumblings at the trade deadline that maybe he would dealt. This for a veteran wide receiver who, a couple years ago, people were calling him Debo Light. They thought he was the best playmaker on the Patriots roster. And the team gave him a contract extension with some guaranteed money this offseason. Well, a few months later, Drake May is looking to find guys that he can trust and rely on. And apparently one of those guys is not Kendrick Osborne because he was a healthy DNP today in Chicago where the Patriots got a 19-3 victory over the Bears, their third win of the season. 1 hour down, 3+ hours to go here on the Six Rings, and no, 2+ hours to go. Bad math, Andy. Go take a lap during the break. 1 hour down, 2+ hours to go here on the Six Rings and Football Things post-game show, a Victory Sunday edition with John Lyons and Andy Jumbo Hart.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.